across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, it's a brave new era of free speech, courtesy of that long-time advocate of abolishing censorship and pushing back the boundaries, John Howard. Oh, he's far too out there for me, Mick.
Oh, too far.
But we'll be talking to him exclusively about his bold new vision for Australia. Also today, Mick's got Footy Fever, our new series of collector's plates, and Lover's Revenge, it's all the rage. We'll fire up Sticky Beaks for another week, we'll summon the Radio Gladiators, and welcome back young Paul Hester for the usual directionless banter. Yes, all this and more on Martin Malloy, where Mick, myself and Pete Smith are saying...
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
Kisses are
hers and hers and his. Sweet company too.
It's the Rembrandts with You Know What here at Martin Malloy. Welcome aboard for another week, Australia. It's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, I'm calling him simply the disgraced Mick Malloy.
What have I done?
Oh, nothing. I don't know. I'm just looking in the papers. You've got to be disgraced.
All right.
If you're not disgraced, you're nobody.
I'm owning up to it, whatever it is I've done.
Who's this bishop? He's just gone out with a chick.
Big news, isn't it?
He hasn't done nothing.
He's done nothing.
He hasn't touched
her. He's confessing to nothing. He's confessing to taking a girl away and doing nothing with her.
But he's disgraced. So I'm calling you disgraced.
That'll do.
And what's on your mind?
Time to talk footy, Tone.
Really?
Because that's about all we'll hear about this week, with both the Rugby League and AFL Grand Finals to be decided next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what a smorgasbord of entertainment that will be, not just for footy fans, but for people who have been hanging out all year waiting to see what's on the menu re-halftime entertainment.
Yes.
The pressure's on in Sydney to top themselves after last year's Optus Vision joint collapsible telly extravaganza.
Fantastic.
I don't know how they improve on that, Tone, without getting permission to let a few lions go the honk on some unsuspecting Christians.
Yes, please.
How do you do it? And in Melbourne, well, the whisper is a couple of hundred kids riding around on BMXs with giant inflatable Tony Lockett's attached to the back. Although, personally, I'm still favouring the idea of getting the Fitzroy Football Club to form a form a guard of honour and punch out their own unique tribute to the great game. Maybe get them to spell out a message or something, you know, like they normally do with the kids.
Just set up a balcony about three stories high.
And let them go to
work.
That's
right.
Weave their magic. Did you watch the Swans-Essendon clash, Tone?
Of course you did. You never miss a game. I've got it on Laserdisc.
You've studied it intensely, haven't you? Well, big plugger has thumped one 55 metres with a dodgy groin to bag an historic victory for the new AFL glamour side, the Sydney Swans. Straight after the kick, plugger was wrestled to the ground by teammates and pinned there as two club trainers went him in the lunchbox with a couple of fire extinguishers. They're not taking any chances, Tone. Club doctors are confident that the plugger groin will be fully recovered for the big game next Saturday, an injury which was sustained a few weeks ago when plugger mistakenly put on an old pair of Warwick Kappa's shorts.
Oh,
my eyes are watering just thinking about it, Tone. He could have played wearing nothing but a boa constrictor in the downstairs department and sustained less damage.
Yes.
Swelling has gone down, but Bruce McAvaney stands by his claim that Plugger's groin is as big as Farlap's heart.
Is it really?
But the week of celebrations kicks off tonight, at least in the AFL, with the Brownlow medal count. And what a night of nights it always is, Tone. So maybe it's not decided by the readers of TV Week, but it's such an important awards night, don't be surprised to see Christopher Reeve wheeled out at some point. You know what it is, Tone?
What is it?
It's a rare chance to see the top players looking the goods in their best bag of fruit, and their wives and girlfriends dolled up in the pretty fruit. I just hope there's no repeat of last year's embarrassing situation where one player's wife turned up wearing exactly the same dress as one of the hosts from the footy show.
Oh, I hate that.
Have I done that joke before? Maybe I have. Who knows? Apparently the same thing happened last year at the Rothmans medal presentation when Sterlo was severely embarrassed and had to change after one of the ladies turned up dressed as a Smurf. Oh, no, he was ropeable, Tone. Anyway, good luck to all the players tonight. Remember, there can only be one winner on the night. You know the rest of the cliches yourself. And if that happens to be you, a word of advice, apparently this year speeches are to go about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So that should involve a fair bit of padding, because tar is, what, 1 or 2 seconds, and that's about the norm. But if you go over 30 seconds, organisers are taking a leaf out of the Oscars book and getting the orchestra to play you off So just be aware. That's a good idea, isn't it, Tone?
Yeah,
maybe we could organise something like that on our show. You know, when our spots go on too long, when they're outlived their welcome or fail to prove humorous, you know, just bring in an orchestra and drown us out. Give us the subtle hint that we've overstayed our welcome. We've become annoying. People are getting pissed off and bored. They're starting to hate our guts like Sally Fields. What's that, Tone? Sorry, can't hear anything over this bloody music.
That's Fairground from Simply Red here in Martin Molloy, where, Mick, it's happening even to me. Footy fever. I'm getting struck down with... I know nothing about the footy, but already I've got that grand finals week fever. Look, just check it out. High-heeled shoes. They're on already.
I told you to take your shots, but you didn't.
I'll have a skirt on by break four. You wait. Now, it's the start of the week, and there's been a bit going on over the weekend, so let's take a visit, shall we? Mm-hmm. A visit to your celebrity court.
Thank you, one and all, and welcome once again to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on the piano. Well done, Gracie. He's currently in court, taken there by Lloyd Webber. Claims that the theme to this segment was stolen from fandom. Good luck, buddy. Anyway, enough of my chit-chat, down to business. Prime Minister Howard yesterday claimed 6 months of his government had ushered in a new era of free speech, where people are now able to talk about, quote, certain things in public. We've got him on the line from Canberra. Mr. Howard, what are you on about?
It's a bold new era of free speech, Mick. No longer are we bound by the restrictions of political correctness. We're all free to talk about certain things without fear of recrimination. Finally, we can say exactly what we think.
But what are these certain things you keep referring to?
Well, I'd rather not say.
You claim it's a new era of freedom from censorship.
Yep.
Does that mean, say, television will become looser with a wider range of issues being discussed?
No, we're clamping down on television, as you know, Vic, introducing the VTuber and gagging all the troublemakers at the ABC.
But surely censorship of music and rock lyrics is no longer on the agenda.
No, we're still going to be much tougher on that sort of thing. It's disgusting what some of these young people are getting away with.
I see, but obviously newspapers will have more freedom to scrutinise your government.
No, definitely not. We're exercising more restrictions and controls on journalists and the media than any of our predecessors ever did.
Right, so in effect, the only change you've actually made is that it's now okay to slag blacks and Asians in public.
Hang on. If you continue down this line, I'll be forced to impose tougher restrictions on radio.
But it's a new era of free speech, Mr. Howard, and you're responsible. Why not make the most of it?
Well, I suppose. Okay, I will. You poof.
That's it, Mr. Howard. Get it out of your system.
you dull, bludging, slanty-eyed, aboriginal shirt lifter.
That's the way. Say goodbye to political correctness. Get it out in the open.
Those abos and their corrugated iron lean-tos, they've had it too easy for far too long. They should go back to where they came from with all their lesbian Asian cohorts. Call a chick the tits on her.
What? Who?
Oh, sorry, Mick, it's just Senator Mel Colston sunbathing topless in the quadrangle. The Asian.
So now that we're able to get these certain things out in the open, will you yourself be speaking your mind a lot more in public?
Listen here, you dirty little kid-jumping yellow-bellied darky. The sooner we get your sword off the dole and into the army, the better. You've been cruising on handouts for too long, and if I have to come down there and beat your bludging ass myself, I will.
Pardon?
Oh, sorry, Mick. I was just talking to my wife on the other line.
And that'd be Brian Adams with The Only Thing here at Martin Molloy.
Martin Molloy are proud to announce the release of Images of Australia, a unique series of collector's plates which both celebrate and preserve some of the most memorable moments from our nation's recent history. Each handcrafted porcelain platter contains a historically significant image, handsomely and sensitively rendered by that bloke who does those careful their starkers calendars. Among the images selected are our federal treasurer dancing the Macarena, the storming of the Parliament House gift shop, the burning of the Oasis tickets, and the unifying national protest against format changes to Wheel of Fortune. What collector would want to be without the opening of the Dobbin a Dole Bludger hotline?
Dean Capobianco triumphs over his own urine. The coronation of Mr. Nude Australia, or the lyrical AFL footballers in Bali on the plop. With such titles as The Unveiling of Danny's New Breasts, Arthur Tunstall tells a joke, Home and Away starlet throws up in Bruce Willis's toilet, and the more recent Alexander Downer receives his first pair of long pants, the Martin Molloy series of collector's plates is an eyesore no Australian home should be without. Here's what one satisfied customer tried to say.
Hi, I'm that South American rainforest guy who Sting discovered. Ever since I had a Martin Molloy collector's plate depicting the historic opening of Molly Meldrum's Bangkok nightclub wedged in my lower lip, Sting refuses to talk to me. How's that for good luck?
And what about that bloke with the moustache who used to be in Allo Allo?
When I had that terrible accident a few years back and they told me they were going to have to insert a plate in me head, I insisted they use the Martin Molloy collector's plate depicting Rhonda Birchmore landing on her ass at the Logies. And they did. Check it out. Oop. Nurse!
So don't delay. Invest in Images of Australia, the Martin Molloy series of collector's plates, putting the croc into crockery.
Red wine, that's UB40 here at Martin Molloy. We're in the next hour. I'm sorry to disappoint fans of the Sex Pistols, but we weren't able to secure that interview we were promising on Friday.
No.
With Johnny Rotten, with John Lydon. He snapped, he stormed out. Now, it's not our fault.
No.
It was nothing to do with us. It was at the other end. It was in America. He had a whole heap of radio interviews lined up.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the phones to work, and he's just marched out of there, apparently.
Not known for his patience.
No.
He said, bugger this, and stormed.
And good on him, I say. Because if he'd turned up, you know, it wouldn't have been right.
I would have, quite frankly, been disappointed.
If he'd have been there
waiting at the other end of the line on time for our interview. It just wouldn't have been right.
We would have given him a serve. I wouldn't have even believed it was him. If he was there.
We would have said, what are you doing?
Have a look at yourself. Don't you have any self-respect? Hang up. Storm out now.
You've shown up on time. You're talking to us.
But as always, we've sent up the Paul Hester signal. And he's got on his little bicycle and he should be here in about half an hour. That's how it works on this program when someone pulls out.
Yep.
And that'll be in the next hour, along with Sticky Beaks entering its second week. And, of course, Radio Gladiators is coming up. It's going to be ugly today, I'm assured, by Mick. And I know we don't like to blow our own horns on the program, but and I only mention this because something special happened on Saturday night.
Trust me, Tone, this isn't really blowing our own horns.
No, not really. What happened was an awards ceremony. In Adelaide, we were there. It was a radio industry awards. It's called the RA Awards. I don't think it means much to the general public.
It's a lucky dip format.
Yeah, that's right. It was a lucky do a prize. And anyway, they had an award for, I don't know, what was the name of it? It was the station promotion.
Best station promotion.
It's for competitions on the radio. Which one was the most effective? And everyone was entering their, all these big comments. The pile of cash, the stack of money, the big, enormous pot full of coins. No, they were all in there.
Yep.
But in fact, the award was won by a little competition we had here at Martin Molloy called Shoot the Celebrity in the Arse.
And thank you.
What a proud.
I'd like to thank the industry. I'd like to thank everyone for supporting us over all these years.
And what a proud moment it was, Mick, as we got to walk down that long flight of stairs and shake the hand of the boss of Telstra and tell him, yeah, we were the brains behind Shoot the Celebrity in the Arse. Thanks very much.
Look no further than here, muchacho. Here's the brains behind that little operation.
That's a career high point. Let's see, we've put out Barge House on video, we've put out the Brown album, and now we've won an award for Shoot the Celebrity in the Arse. Are we stuck in a rut?
Who cares? We're having fun, aren't we?
Of course. And any highlights? There wasn't really that much embarrassing behaviour on the night. I didn't stay too late. What did you see?
Oh, look, I was very disappointed the fact that Christopher Reeve again hadn't bothered to turn up.
Where was he?
He should have been there doing a few donuts. It was a big night. Farnham turned up. Tina Arena turned up. Why couldn't have? Revo.
unfortunately.
Have, made the trip.
Darren Hinch did turn up, I'm afraid.
Yes, and...
It was one of those awards show where no one's allowed to make speeches. They want to get through it quick. It's a fabulous idea. Take note, awards show organisers.
But oh no!
Darren Hinch had to push his way through the mic and blow his considerable horn for three or four long.
And that's when you were really wishing there was an orchestra ready for the big playoff, didn't you? He was glassy-eyed. He was there, thanks. A big glassy eyes, I'm thinking. All I'm thinking is I'd love to see if his jaws is glassy. And there you go. And those awards. I didn't know whether we were accepting an award or a murder weapon. Check that out.
It's very pointy, almost as pointy as the Aria.
People are impaling themselves on it. One of the guys who was nominated in our category lost came up, grabbed my award and committed hurry-carry.
Did he?
Drove it into his stomach.
Well, we'll see what happens at the Arias next week. Even more deadly accolades being distributed. But here's some interesting news, Mickey. Listen to this. A Sydney firm of patent attorneys has filed the first Australian application to trademark a smell. anything you want to say at this point?
Pass.
No, but it's for new novelty darts in which the feathers emit the strong smell of beer. Now, have you ever seen a set of darts that didn't smell of beer?
Absolutely.
What's going on? So this is such a good idea.
Just go the dunk.
This is such a top idea. We've got to copyright this when word of this gets out. But it's a bit rich. I mean, there are several cases like this going on. I know Telstra are going before the patent tribunal at the moment. They're hoping to break legal ground by copyrighting the familiar electronic beep, 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 beep sound that you get when a long-distance phone call is answered. They actually want to copyright that sound.
Right.
So, like, if a band wanted to cover that sound, they have to pay a copyright fee, presumably. Who's going to pinch that sound? Who's going to lift that one? Reversing trucks, maybe? That's very similar. They'll have to change their call. But Optus, I'm assuming it's to stop Optus from using the do-do-do sound. Oh, they'll have to adopt a different noise, something like this. That's what you'll hear just when you answer the phone. You know, you'll just know that yes. That's right. Someone's there. Someone's home. They'll have to come up with something else. There's more of these as well. Listen to this. Cadbury's are trying to copyright the shade of purple they use on their chocolate wrappers.
Right.
Telstra, again, are trying to register the yellow they use for the Yellow Pages. This sounds like the go. What other colours can we register? What can I register? What about the bright red colour my face goes if it's exposed to direct sunlight for more than 5 minutes?
That's yours, buddy. You own it.
Could I do that? Then anytime someone got the face sunburnt, they'd have to pay me a royalty. I'd be getting checks every week from people who'd forgotten the sunscreen, anyone who'd been embarrassed in public, and Darren Hinch after a working lunch.
This is Martin Molloy. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Yes, you're still with Martin Molloy, and it's time for another week of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, a lot of talk around the office today about a little story on 60 Minutes last night, I believe on the topic of lover's revenge. What was going on? I didn't see it.
It's the big daddy of all revenge scenarios, saying it's just outright ugly. There was a lot of jilted lovers, mainly of the female variety, who had exacted, horrific revenge upon their deceitful partners. And some of these include one woman who's the head of the organisation called the Old Bag Society, which is for women who have been left high and dry by unfaithful husbands.
Really? The Old Bag Society?
The Old Bag Society, yep. Okay. And she, she's a good case in point. She exacted her revenge by, her husband had a cellar full of the most impressive wine you've ever seen. She had amongst it a 1919 Chateau Lafite, which I understand is very impressive indeed.
The good stuff.
And basically she loaded up the car and went around the neighbourhood dropping off a bottle on everyone's doorstep.
Oh, that's very thoughtful.
She knew how to hurt him. Another woman there, ex-partner's love was his garden. He had one of the finest gardens in all of Europe and he used to collect plants from all over the world. She's done a letterbox drop saying, you know, it's a scientific experimentation. Can you drop your slugs off at our garden, at our CSIRO garden or whatever, because we're testing the, you know, the durability fertility of these right. plants. And basically, he was kept awake at night by the sounds of slugs eating his garden. These people, these women are going to, well, grave lengths to exact the revenge.
Now, I think we opened this can of worms on the Love Machine a few months back.
Yep.
And we asked for examples of lover's revenge. What were some of the ones we got?
We got one woman who actually blew up her boyfriend's car,
yeah.
took it to a mechanic and asked him to blow up the engine.
That's right. She took it to a professional.
A professional. Got it done professionally. Then got him to tow it back and put it in the driveway.
And then what did she do?
She married him.
That's right. That taught him a lesson he'll never forget.
Absolutely.
That's what she did. We had another woman who, I think, while the ex-boyfriend was on holiday, planted alfalfa sprouts.
And he came home after 2 weeks to find her, basically, to combine harvest his lounge room, if
that's
I
right.
remember correctly.
And that's what we're doing today. We want to hear other examples, ones you've heard about or perhaps ones you've instituted yourself. And I've heard a few stories like this. A friend of mine, she got her ex-boyfriend a beauty. Listen to this. She bought him Oasis tickets. sucked in badly.
She's a horror.
My mum, I think I've talked about this before, she's got a very simple, effective one. Whenever she divorces somebody, she just adds their name to the Reader's Digest mailing list. you know, they're swimming in coupons and plastic keys.
They never forget her. Never forget her. I've got one that actually happened to me. It's true, unfortunately. I had a bust up with a girl once, and you know how she got me back, Tone?
How's that?
She went out with the lead singer of My Sex. No, as far as I'm concerned, that's just pure evil.
Is that true?
You'd be driving in your car and all of a sudden all you'd hear on the radio is computer games, and it'd drive you mad. It'd eat you up inside. You'd be in a salon getting your hair done, middle of a haircut, all of a sudden on the radio, mad. You run screaming from the... I rang up the bank to see if she'd left any money in my bank account. They put me on hold and all I hear is not good sportsmanship.
And it drove you mad, did it,
Mickey? It drove me slightly mad.
Well, I never went out with her, and it used to drive me mad as well. So you're not alone there.
Oh, hang on, yeah. Maybe that's what was driving me mad.
Is that true?
That is true.
You wouldn't make up that,
would
you?
I would not make that up.
Okay.
I swear to God.
I know a bloke whose girlfriend left him, and there was a bit of a fracas, there was a bit of ugliness, and the way she got him back was he had a huge collection of Van Damme and Stallone-style action movies on video.
Right.
All on a shelf in alphabetical order. Yeah. It's a bit of a collection.
Yeah.
And she got them all and sellotaped over the little tabs and went in about 20 minutes on each of them and then just put that Bette Midler film Beaches on.
Oh, no!
So he'd be having the blokes around for a big night and throwing on a bit of Cliffhanger and then copping chick flick action about 20 minutes in. So
his name would be Mud.
Oh,
there would have been a stampede.
That's was trouble.
Taxi!
His career was ended. And that's what we're looking for today.
Yeah.
We're looking for examples of love revenge, not too unpleasant.
No.
Nothing that resulted in a fatality.
Something that will amuse the wider general public.
We don't want any calls from Anna Nicole Smith. We don't want anything of that nature. So, have we got a prize? Yes, indeed. Step into the prize lounge. As I tell you, we have $500 cash.
Wow.
It's as simple as that.
You're going to be rewarded.
You don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's just $500 cash coming your way. Who's it's courtesy of? It's courtesy of our very good friends at Soothers, who are also throwing in a whole box of Soothers. And I can say this without fear of contradiction. Many programs of Martin Molloy wouldn't have made it to air without the assistance of Soothers.
Correct.
We're knocking them back in here, I can tell you. So call us up, give us your lover's revenge story and possibly bag yourself $500 cash and some Soothers. 1-800-657-657. This is Martin Molloy, and that was Gabrielle with Dreams. It's Radio Gladiators, and because of that story on 60 Minutes last night about, unpleasant forms of lover's revenge payback, we've decided to open that particular can ourselves today on the big segment. We want to hear ugly stories about jilted lovers and how they got their revenge. Who have we got, Mickey?
It's Vanessa. How are you, Vanessa?
How are you?
Not too bad at all. Spill the beans. What happened? Was it you or is it one of your friends, which seems to be
me.
A theme?
It was definitely me.
You? What happened?
Well, basically, we had one of our marital... fights, as you would say.
Yep.
And every fight that we had, it was always his computer came up in the conversation.
Really?
So, yeah.
How was that? What role did it was he perhaps having an affair with the computer?
Well, it felt that way. I thought if I put a screen and a few keyboard buttons on my body, I might have got more attention, but that didn't quite work.
Gotcha.
My girlfriend feels the same with those pokey machines. She's going to attach a little lever to the side of her body.
And then you'd be spewing out coins at the end of a romantic evening.
For a change. A pleasant change.
All right. Okay, so the computer was vying for his attention. So what did you do, Vanessa?
So basically he said, oh, well, I'm leaving you. I said, that's fine. Walked up into the computer room, sliced the fly screen and threw all the computer and all these accessories up from the second floor.
Oh, and did you feel better?
Oh, heaps better.
Satisfying moment. And what did he say, or can you not repeat that?
No, not on air.
Right, okay. And is he shacked up with another floozy Apple Mac since then?
Probably, more likely.
Okay, and I bet there was probably another computer. He had another one in a hotel room somewhere in town that you didn't know about, I'm guessing,
he
Vanessa.
He probably had a computer in every port.
More likely.
All right, thanks, Vanessa. Now we've got David. David, what did you do? Oh, dear. I think his ex-girlfriend has got to him. She's got to him all right.
Oh, yeah.
And what was he up to there, Em? He was
in the supermarket.
Moving the car at the supermarket. Oh, he still had a key and would move the car whenever he saw it. Just driving in nuts. I didn't leave the car there. It's over there. Mm. Okay, that's pretty good.
I like it.
Have we got Chris with us? You there, Chris?
Yeah, I am.
What did you get up to?
Well, it wasn't me. It was actually a friend of mine.
Gotcha.
He had a rather nasty breakup with his wife and got one of his mates with an excavator to come in and tear his house down.
Oh, tear the house down? The whole of the house or just the half that she was getting?
No, the whole of the house. She went away on a business trip and he got this bloke in and took all the stuff out of the house, of course, and when she came home, the house was in the swimming pool.
Right. Well, that's, it's not really convenient.
No.
Was to him.
Okay, bulldozing the whole house.
I like it.
I don't know if we can top that, Mickey.
Well, we're going to try anyway. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, what you got the wire for us in the way of a nasty revenge?
Well, my brother's girlfriend, she untacked the seams on his pants and his suit jacket, and when he went to work, and it was his favourite purple suit, and he went to work, he sat down, his pants split, he didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Together.
So he sat down and instantly turned into the nutty professor.
Yes, something like that. And then the sleeve jacket came off a bit later.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's going to be my excuse from now on, Tone. Oh, my girlfriend, she's been at it again.
Jilted.
Here goes another pair of pants.
Well, that's pretty good. You know, there's two extremes for you, bulldozing the house or splitting the pants.
Splitting the pants seems far more kind of, funny. Thought about.
Okay.
You know.
More devious.
More
right.
Devious.
Well, let's go to Richard. Richard, can you go one better than that?
Certainly can. Bloke I know was getting married and he found out that his best mate, who was also his best man, had been knocking off his missus.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's no good. And he found out what on the wedding day?
He found out a little time before the wedding. It was a couple of days, and he decided to go through with it. It was a rather large wedding, and all the family and that were there. And right at the end, he was making his speech, and he's gone through the whole wedding, the reception, everything. And he said, I'd like to thank, you all for coming to the wedding. And the last thing he said was, I'd like to thank my best mate for knocking off my new wife for the past whatever.
And then did he just storm out?
Yeah, he walked straight out the door and never talked to any of them ever again.
Got into the car with the just married on the back and the tins and drove off by himself at 100 k's.
On his pad.
All right. Well, that's a beauty. Very theatrical. Mm. I think we've got time for one more. Who's it going to be, Mickey?
It's Leah. How are you, Leah?
Hi, how you going?
Good. That's what have you got for us?
Well, what it is, it's actually, it wasn't me. It was a friend of mine.
Okay, yeah.
sure. She was getting married and she thought she'd basically pre-warn her future husband not to play up, so to speak.
Right.
And what she did was she actually set him up with a transvestite. At his bucks night. Yeah, that's right.
So he's had a bucks night and she's thought, right, we'll test his loyalty. That's sent along in the place of a stripper, a transvestite. And did he get a rude shock?
He did actually. He was blindfolded.
Oh, I see.
So obviously he couldn't see what was going on, and the transvestite got away with a little bit too much.
Right, so it's a bit of a crying game moment.
Yeah, it was. And anyway, when the transvestite was sort of finished doing the business, the transvestite ran his hand up in between her legs.
Yeah, and he kind of got more than we need to know. Yeah, we're getting more than we bargained for ourselves. Leah, can I just ask, I think we probably should, the transvestite, was it one of those blokes from the footy show? Was it one of them?
It could have been Sterlo.
Okay.
Sterlo on the Smurf. That's not even a revenge story.
Absolutely.
That's not even waiting for something to happen. Yes. That's very ballsy. That's sending the frontline troops in straight away and going, this is how it's going to be, sunshine.
That's revenge in advance.
Yeah, it was a classic.
Well, that is a classic, but is it our winner? We've heard, I like the bloke storming out of his own wedding. I like the simplicity of pants splitting. Mm. And obviously bulldozing a house. You can't go past that. Which one are we going for, Mickey?
What about? I'd like to give it to the transvestite, but it's not strictly revenge, so it's disallowed. And instead, we're going to go with Richard.
Richard, oh yes,
told us the celebrated tale of the mate who made the probably the most entertaining speech ever seen at a wedding anywhere.
All right, are you still there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm still here, boys.
You've got the $500 and you've got the big packet of soothers as well.
Oh, what a ripper.
And you eat them all. You can tell that story all night. Fantastic. Thanks for taking part. Thanks to everybody who took part in the ugliness today. And we'll be back in the next hour with, sadly, not Johnny Rotten, but we do have Paul Hester.
This is Martin Malloy.
Hey, congratulations, you two.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, crap dogs, sticky beaks, and direct from his shed, one Paul Hester, all thanks to Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle. You know the one, it's got an extra 20% bit on the top for nothing. That girl and this program is Martin Malloy. It was Maxi Priest we were just enjoying there with Shaggy helping out. Oh, I think he plays the spoons on that number.
Does he?
I think so. That's what he does. He's Mr. Bombastic, and don't you forget it now. We at this point, here's what was going to happen. We were going to have Johnny Rotten or John Lydon.
Yep.
I'm never quite sure where one ends and the other begins. We're going to have him on the line from America. Mm. He's doing a whole series of interviews for various Australian radio programs and publications.
Yep.
Something's gone wrong with the phone. Johnny stormed out. He's not coming back. He's just gone going down to the limo.
Yep.
Glenn, suck your gut in. I'm getting into the limo. Let's go. And so we haven't got him. So we thought, well, we'll send up the Paul Hester signal.
Yep.
And we'll have Paulie filling in.
Yep.
No sign of Paul as yet. If you spot him in traffic, I think you know Paul Hester's work.
Let him through. Give him a motorcade here to give him a free passage through traffic to the Martin Malloy Studios.
That's right. But I tell you what, in the meantime, there's a lot of gesturing. I love a bit of gesturing.
A bit of sign language. Always a good look on radio.
Okay.
Hang on. Emma's coming in with some late-breaking news.
Here we go.
Here she comes.
Johnny Rotten's changed his mind.
He's on the line. What's happening? He's on the phone!
Are you in, Paul?
Yeah, mate. Hi.
We'll just give you the theme music. What are you doing, buddy?
Well, I was asleep.
You were shed side stacking some Zeds, were you?
I was in bed with my daughter.
Right, you realise you're supposed to be in here.
Oh, I do now, yeah.
Well, tell you what, we can get Sticky Beaks underway. Do you want to pop in the car and get down here?
All right, can you make me a cup of tea?
All right, how do you like it?
Oh, just white, no sugar.
Okay, we'll get something underway. Thanks, Paul. You get your ass down here.
All right.
And Pete, you wakey-wakey. I know you've been in bed all afternoon, but it's time for you to say the words.
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks. Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Malloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other. Not the girl you think you are. If you're our winning Sticky Beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. Hey guys, listen to this. On Friday night, I was having a sticky beak round the 60 Minutes office, and I found a confidential report containing Tracy Curo's letter of resignation. Guess why she did it? Apparently, she just can't face another summer sitting across a desk from Richard Carlton while he files all his reports in the nude.
I heard that that was true. Is that right, Pete? Thanks for that.
Can't help himself.
Always on the beaky zone, South. Hang on, so we got one guest storming out.
Yep.
The replacement guest falling asleep.
What's Paul's story?
What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. He's been listening to that speech John Howard was giving about our new era of freedom of speech, and he's just nodded off. I'm sure that was it.
It shows you the kind of pull this program has, really, doesn't it? Martin Malloy, they know how to bag the big ones and even the small ones. They're fighting to jump on the line, aren't they?
All right. Well, what about our listeners? I hope they don't let us down, because we've got an offer which is very hard to resist at this point. From
take us through it.
Well, firstly, you get the Crowded House back catalogue, unless it's fallen asleep. That's going to be yours. And you go into the drawer for a week in a dream house. Now, when I say dream house...
You're being a bit loose with the truth.
I am, because it's a castle. It's a castle in Germany. You're there for 7 nights with somebody else of your choosing. You're receiving the 1 millionth copy from a very sleepy Paul Hester, the 1 millionth copy of Recurring Dream. And you're off to some kind of concert and just basically anything you can think of that you want to do in a castle. This is your big chance. And you're doing it in Germany, right, where they know how to make castles proper. None of your cladding jobs.
No, sorry.
This is your bona fide castle and all expenses paid. So call us up. And how does this work? We want two people.
Two people.
And because we're doing it at a different time, so I better paint it out for people. You're going to be probed. We're going to get a few trivia facts out of you about your own lifestyle, and then we're going to pitch you against somebody else. It's as simple as that. Call us now for a good sticky beak. 1-800-657-657. That was Joe Cocker leaving his hat on here at Martin Malloy, where that music tells us there's been a bit of hasty rescheduling here at the big program today, and it's time for sticky beaks.
Hurrah!
Here's how it works. We've got a couple of beaks on the line. They're going to be prying. Well, we've done the prying.
Mm-hmm.
The prying is completed. And they're going to be simply answering a few questions about each other. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
There's a lot of Crowded House CDs and a trip to Germany in the offing. Who have we got on the line?
We got Shannon on the line. G'day, Shannon. How are you, bud?
Not too bad yourself, buddy.
Ah, yeah. Can't complain at this stage. Things have been more organised, of course. But we're soldiering on anyway, bud. Where are you calling us from?
Woodridge, mate.
Woodridge. What's happening up there? What's the talk of Woodridge?
Not much.
Not much?
Not much at all.
Nothing much happens in Woodridge?
Nah, it's pretty dead, mate.
That's why you're there, isn't it?
That's
you like
it.
To kick back and relax.
Hey, not quite.
Well, you're under the gun today, son, let me tell you that. You'll be answering a few questions.
And they're going to be about Diana. Are you with us, Diana?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Freeman Terrace.
And much more happening than in Woodridge?
Oh, not really.
Gee, it's an exciting old pair.
We'll be lucky to get anything out of these two.
Okay, well, let's start the beaking, shall we? Let's get things underway. Kick us off, Mickey.
Okay, Diana.
Yep.
Shannon never goes anywhere without A, his hat, B, his sunnies, C, his surgical mask and young companions.
His sunnies?
No! It's his hat! What kind of hat you got, Shannon?
New York Yankees.
New York Yankees. Yeah. And do you wear it backwards?
What's that?
Do you wear it backwards?
No, mate, forwards.
But wouldn't get away with that in Woodville. Woodridge. Woodridge.
Woodridge, that's right.
Whatever.
Okay, well, here's a question for you. Shan, one of Diana's previous boyfriends was A, checkout operator, B, a motor mechanic, C, disgraced Catholic Bishop Roderick Wright.
I'll go for B.
Oh, no, he was a checkout operator, I'm afraid. And Diana, was this free stuff for you? Did that mean you got, you know, free stuff from him?
No, I worked there too.
Oh, okay.
You worked there, that's how you met him. You weren't cruising through that 8 items or less aisle and you stopped for a bit of a chit-chat.
And what's your feeling on the wooden stick thing, Diana? You know, the wooden stick thing that separates one customer's stuff from the next. Do you have a firm opinion on that? Do you like it when people use it? Or do you...
It doesn't bother me.
Oh, okay, because I know some supermarkets very strict etiquette in that regard. Obviously not up that way. All right, next question.
Okay, Diana, Shannon's last holiday was A, a trip to Disneyland, B, a trip to Sydney, C, undertaken while he was serving periodic detention.
B.
Yes, it was a trip to Sydney.
Oh,
did you have a good time there, Shannon?
Yeah, it was great, mate.
Was it?
Okay. Did you bring back any souvenirs?
A couple of fish.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Do you kiss them? Do you get into that?
Oh, mate, Rexy's a legend.
Okay. All right, well, here's a question for you, Shannon, about Diana. Diana's middle name is A, Nicole, B, Arlene, C, Totty.
B.
Oh, yes, indeed, it's Arlene. I think it's neck and neck.
There you go.
Is there anyone else with the name Totty?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
All right. Shall I continue?
Yes.
All right, Diana. Shannon thinks that the halftime entertainment at this weekend's grand final should be A, full of animals like the Royal Show, B, chock-a-block with cheerleaders, C, a reunion of the cast of the midday shows A Town Like Dallas.
It's a tough one.
Oh, gee. B?
Yes! She took her time and it paid off.
Halftime entertainment. What is Shannon's vision exactly?
Chock-a-block full of cheerleaders. You're a man of vision, Shannon. Obviously, you spend a bit of time up there in Woodruff.
Woodridge.
The Woodruff. That was a dog on Simon Townsend's Wonderworld.
All right. He doesn't spend any time in Woodruff, Mickey. And let's now have the final question. Here it is, Shannon. Diana drives A, a charade, B, a Sigma, C, Medivac star Nicholas Eady to and from work.
I'll go the charade.
Yes! Does that mean it's even?
Oh, it's a tiebreaker.
It's going to be a tiebreaker, and here we go. As always, team, the question is about Mick or myself. Today it's about me. Wait till I've read out the three options and then just dive in with an A, a B, or a C. The last time Tony Martin went into hospital for an operation, it was to A, have the appendix out, B, have the tonsils out, C, receive the latest in a series of elaborate hair grafting and skin pigmentation procedures that will eventually transform me into Australia's Don King. Which is it?
B.
Oh, who said B?
Shannon.
Shannon, yes. Shannon, you've covered yourself in glory.
Yes, indeed. So that means Shannon is going to be the toast of Woodside.
Woodridge, mate.
Woodridge. Sorry, buddy. Thanks for the correction.
All right. Well, guess what? You've got yourself the Crowded House back catalogue.
Oh, bonus.
All them Crowdy CDs coming your way, and you've gone into the drawer for the big prize, and we'll be pulling the barrel out the Beasley in... Oh, when is that happening exactly?
Well, I think could be any time. It depends who's turning up or not.
Paul Hester's towing the barrel behind his car, so thanks for playing Sticky Beaks, the both of you, and we'll be back with another round, not at the same time, tomorrow.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
Forgiven, not forgotten, that's those Cores here at Martin Molloy, where, well, our guest today, he's certainly forgotten something. But we've forgiven him.
We have.
He's raced here in the nick of time. He was already filling in for Johnny Rotten, who pulled out after a bit of a fracker. And he's filling in at the last minute. He's done his best to fill the rotten shoes at short notice. He's dipped his head into a bucket of chicken fat. He's stacked on about 4 stone, and he's been working on a great big gorby for the whole of the drive in here. Let's open the cage and welcome our favourite blow-in former Crowdy, Paul Hester. Still in the jammies, Paul.
Oh, look, we've got the slippers on, Mick. Look, no worries. Don the slippers in the car. Here we are, no worries.
Not joking.
With the Fox FM valet parking out the front.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Now, tell us, Paul, what were you doing asleep at, in the late afternoon? Is that because you're up all evening working on creative ideas for your new solo project?
No, I was up all night vomiting.
Really?
Yes, I had a hamburger at the Melbourne Airport facility, which was a little bit on the bloody nose, I think.
I see.
And I was rotten all night. What was it, Burger King? Can't seem to remember where I bought it, but God, mate, I was crook as a dog.
I see.
So I had to have a nap the salves, and I completely forgot.
Well, by that as an excuse, and Paul, you are filling in for Johnny Rotten.
That's true, yeah.
And he couldn't do any of his Australian interviews, and really, I think we'd all have been disappointed if he had turned up.
What? Really?
Well, it's, you know, you don't want to see, if you've got someone from the Sex Pistols on your show, you don't want him to be there.
It's the magic, you know. Yeah, he's going to
wreck it. Punctuality is not what I'm looking for.
No, that's right.
And Johnny Rotten.
He's done the right thing by cancelling.
That's right.
You know, he's given you what you want.
It's better publicity for the gig, as far as I'm concerned, for him not to do the interview than to do it. Mm. Now, Paul, have you had much to do with the Pistols in their various incarnations over the years?
Well, you know, we go back a ways, us and the boys. I got to know that guitar player, Steve Jones, a little bit afterwards, post-Pistol.
Right.
I got to know Steve in LA when we were there. Crowdy's making their first record.
Yeah.
We lived there for a bit and we got involved in this soccer game every Sunday morning with all these expats.
All right.
And he used to play. Old Jonesy would come down in full soccer strip with all this amazing gear and new boots and new fancy sort of, you know, Division One gear, and he'd put it all, he'd be down there and the game would start and he'd hoof this ball and he'd be stuffed after about 5 minutes. He couldn't run a bloody mile, you know, he's hopeless.
And was he on your, what sort of team are we talking about here?
Well, that was like a Pommy team. All these sort of, you know, record company knobs and such.
And did they have supporters?
No, nobody.
Did they have a whole group of people who'd stand behind the goal spitting on him?
No people actually watch this take place. No, this was once again, you know, the magic. You know, they wanted to keep it private.
Mm, right.
There's a lot of celebrities involved.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so now you're talking soccer. Does this mean, Paul, I know it's grand final week, are you infected, like so many of your fellow Australians, with footy fever?
My groin took a beating, as Tony's did. I've been with him on that number. I felt sorry for the little bugger, though, when he kicked that point and everyone jumped on him. I'm thinking, what about his groin, for Christ's sake? You know, some silly whacker's got a boot in there and, you know, we'll see next week.
Anyway. Yes, there's always a lot of groin. That's something I've noticed, because you're speaking to somebody here who knows nothing about footy, but I notice there's always a lot of references to groin work. How does that happen? How do you pull a groin?
Look, you just do. It's like it's covered by workers' comp if you're an AFL footballer. I like the diagram. I like they should have had more diagrams in the paper illustrating the actual, point of a problematic area, the whole deal, but it just never happened. Tony's normally they do groin. That. You get a hamstring injury, you get someone to the cruciate, and all you get is like that sciencey bloke you often find in doctor's surgeries, which has got a bit of a skeleton and all the appropriate muscles and the point of impact and nothing from plugger's groin.
Nothing.
That's what I wanted, poster-sized in all the papers.
Exactly. It could have been in the middle of the VFL record when you open it up, or the AFL record, you open up in the middle, big sort of colour photo, you know, sort of split open where they do those sort of medical things. Mm. You know, plugger's groin, the groin of a human, the groin of a normal person, the groin of Plugger, you know, the heart of Farlap, the heart of Plugger. You know, you could have had a whole thing going there. But, you know, what do they do, Mick? What do they just
crap on about
something?
There hasn't been enough talk.
Is it possible to do a groin playing the drums, Paul? Does that ever happen?
Well, no. See, drumming's really, that's the end of the line for your physical sort of thing, isn't it, really? You're not standing up playing it, it's not singing, you're not even roadieing. Drumming's really for your lazy bastard.
What's your major, probably your most likely source of, say, an injury?
On the drum.
And when you're playing the drum.
You have a lot of trouble with your digestive system, and you have a lot of wind and a lot of bad... A lot of drummers are known to have a lot of bad wind. A lot of bad guttural
wind.
Trouble. Yeah, because of the sitting down immediately after dinner and doing the two-hour show. Mm. Not good for the digestive system at all.
But if you if you got the wind to correspond to the correct beat, it could be like an extra snare drum or something.
Right.
You could incorporate that into the act.
You know the technology's there, Mick.
Mm.
It's only people like you see that aren't there to implement, say, put that up his bum and put an echo on it, and use it in the single. You know, no one does that anymore.
Is that why Michael Jackson wears that surgical mask on tour? He's using two drummers on this gig. Maybe that's why.
Oh, you know it. And, you know, they're in funny sort of exotic countries, lots of curries, you know.
Oh, I gotcha. All right,
full on.
Well, you found our level at last, Paul. Can you stick around for another break, or do you have to get a bit of shut-eye?
No, I was having a nightmare, actually. I'm glad you woke me up.
Okay, we'll get into that next. I'm Martin Malloy.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
The radio handbook.
The number one song in the United States of America, Donna Lewis, with I Will Love You Always Forever Without the Will. Just take the will out. We'll edit that
out.
It's I Love You Always Forever. It's Martin Malloy is the program. Paul Hester's with us. And I know you've had quite a few number ones in America. I think you were number one for a whole year at one point with Crowded House. That was in the old days, but I see your name still bobbing up in the awards, ARIA Awards, I think this time next week, Paul. Will you be there? Will you be causing any trouble?
Yeah, no. Where are they? No, where are they this
year? Sydney.
Oh, big yes.
Yes.
No,
you won't be there?
No, won't be there. Where are they going to be held?
Probably, I'd say, off the top of my head, you've got your Horden Pavilions, you've got your Darling Harbour Convention Centres, you've got your Seymour Centre, you've got the Siebel Townhouse, who knows? Oh, the Ricky May Room.
The Ricky Maron.
Townhouse. That always struck me as an ideal venue for the Arias.
That's where it ends up. That's where it ends up every year.
Indeed.
That's
right. So you have been been to the Arias, Paul Hester?
I've been there. I think I was there the big brown year.
The Browns took everything. Tell us about the Browns.
That was your year, wasn't it? The Brown album.
We nominated,
took everything.
The Brown album is nominated for two awards this year, but nobody believes us. And we're
Are you going?
Well, I think we will be in attendance.
Yeah. Right. And we're up against, in one category, Max Sharam. We're up against me. Is that the comedy album category?
What's that for?
I don't know.
Look, who's running the show?
One of them's comedy, but the other one's something else.
It's
have you been invited?
It's a special achievement award for lowering the bar in the Australian recording industry, and we've been nominated.
The lowest common denominator has been lowered.
That's it.
Again.
Buddy.
Now, look, I mean, the Arias, the thing about the Arias is it's a bloody good laugh and a good perv if you've got nothing much to do with it. I suggest you take copious amounts of relaxants and you park yourself up there with a good seat, so none of this neck stuff. Mm. Get on the side and look across at everyone nervously awaiting to see what's going to happen. Get the drop on them. Okay. Get there early.
Should we be wearing leather pants?
Yeah, what
do we do? I mean, you know, we're not rock and roll people.
We behave. We've been to the Logies, Paul. But what do you... I notice that the Arias, everyone's wearing sunnies. You've got to have the sunnies on indoors.
Sunnies. Now, look, I'd just sit on the side. I'd just sit back and I'd sort of dress down. Mm. I think this would be the thing. Going in sort of tracky dacks. Mm. Going sort of runners, tracky dacks, with an old sort of rock T-shirt of an old, you know, 70s band or something. You know,
Red Gum.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And just sit there and just...
Tracky dacks and Red Gum T-shirt. And it's like you're reading my mind.
Oh, you just draw all the attention. Everyone talks about you.
Right.
Once all of a sudden you put everyone else in this boring sort of category of flashy stuff, and you're over there with your true dinkum son. And, you know, I think that's what you need to do.
And what's happening backstage? I mean, you know, join the dots for us, Paul. You've been there.
Backstage, there's a big mirror, and you've got Kate Sobrano. You've got all these people fighting to get in front of it to sort of do all their dooley wops, put on their fake this, fake that, put all their breasts up here, and little, you know, women tying little men's
bums. Is that the Hunter Brothers?
Yeah, you know, the Hunter Brothers are there. There's a few staples going in the back room. You're all right. Mark, next. In you go. And, you know, everybody's queuing up, and it's a bit of a funny old thing. Barnsley's walking around mindlessly, just going into people's rooms going, "I got my ticket already!" He's just sort of singing. And
that
he warms
was his acceptance
like
speech, I think, one year.
So it's chaotic, and it's more fun back there than it is out the front.
And have you accepted an award for the Arias? I'm sure you've been nominated countless times. How many have you bagged?
Never been at an Arias Awards where we've won anything.
Oh,
I've been... We've always been away. I've always gone there and, you know, sort of been like the getting slightly older than the other bands sort of.
Right.
You know,
right.
Oh, you didn't get anything this year, Hester?
And what are you nominated for this year?
Nothing, as far as I know.
No, I think there's a couple of your releases are in there somewhere. they obviously haven't called you. They obviously haven't called you. It's like we're giving away this. This is fantastic. We're giving away the Crowded House CD back catalogue.
I'd love one of those.
They've called him, Tone. They just can't get him out of bed.
All the Crowdie CDs. Paul's in here going, have you got any of those lying around? I haven't got most of those.
Tony says to me, oh, I'll make you a tape if you want.
I'll
love
tape.
That.
What you do, Paul, is you ring a programmer at a radio station and you say, hey, I'd like to win my own height in Crowded House CDs, please.
Okay.
Here you go. You're in there for Best Australian Group, and you're also in there for something else.
It's Best Australian Group of what?
Well, Best...
Best Australian... The question that needs answering.
Well, Best Australian Group that broke up in acrimonious circumstances. I think it's quite a long list there, Paul.
Saw you in that clip the other night, Testo, too.
Which one
is that? That's a game of Where's Wally? If ever I've seen one. That's subliminal.
It cost thousands, Mick. I think it's up around 250,000 shitters they spent on that thing.
Is that right?
Is it a joke?
Why do they bother spending so much on the clips when you can only see them if you're up after midnight?
It's ridiculous. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm a drummer, for Christ's sake.
You can only see them if you're up after midnight or if you're waiting for the kids' cartoons in the morning.
Look, buy a house. That's what I reckon. Stuff the video. Buy a house. Spend 200 shitters. Get a house. Spend 50 shitters on a camera. Do a video. Do bloody 10 videos in your house.
And the punters, instead of watching the video, could pop around, check out the house. If they like the house, buy the single.
Exactly.
Sensible talk, as always.
Stitched it up.
Two units. Get two units. 100,000 each.
Well, Paul, we'd like to thank you for coming in.
Move a few units.
talking sense and filling in for Johnny Rotten today. Thanks very much.
You know, anytime
you've done yourself proud.
Fill in Johnny Rotten, I'll be there.
Okay, back in the sack. Thanks for helping us today. And
good luck, you guys at the Arias.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll see you there.
We've
then.
Got bigger fish to fry than the Arias. We're working on our new stage show at the moment. Check this out.
If you love dance, if you live for tap, then you'll be thoroughly outraged once you've paid good money to see Tony Martin and Mick Molloy in Crap Dogs.
Ow, that's really hurting my toes.
We've all had bad nights at the theatre, but nothing will prepare you for the excruciating pain, the unrelenting boredom, the mind-numbing stupidity of Crap Dogs.
Wow, pretty exciting, isn't it, everyone? Doesn't get any better than this in the way of entertainment, does it? Wouldn't be missing this for anything, would you, Mickey?
Oh, no, mate, we're doing it. Oh, hang on a sec, though. I've got a stitch.
Blow it out your ass. What an ungrateful bastard.
Come on, Nick. Let's just get this over and done with.
Can I finish my singing first?
With over 12 piss-weak toe-tapper numbers, it's one night at the theatre you'll never forget. Try, by all means. But I'm sorry, you'll never forget.
Ow, Nick, you stepped on my foot.
Yeah, I'll get it out of my way then.
Oh, I've twisted my ankle.
Have a look at that. I hurt myself and they boo me.
What is it with you tap fans? You're animals. You're all animals.
Even though we're booked out till Christmas, just turn up after interval to take your pick from the best seats in the house. If you miss one show this year, make sure it's Crap Dogs.
Nick, what are you doing?
I'm tapping up a storm, Tone.
Nick, you can't tap in Ugg boots.
Why not? Oh, here they go. Jesus, what is it with you people? You know where the door is? Go and get a life.
Get them away, Tone.
Check this move, Nick. I've been working on this. See.
Faith No More with their version of Easy here at Martin Molloy. Just about, well, it is.
It's past time for us to go.
Mm. Today's show, I think, has been exemplary.
Yep.
I think everything's unfolded just as it was supposed to.
Seamless.
And it is time for us to go. Thanks for tuning in today. If you've just joined us, you missed our best show ever. Mm.
And time for a quick Brownlow tip.
Certainly for our AFL listeners.
People,
Brownlow medal night, what's going to happen?
Get your smart money on David Polkinghorne. Sure, hasn't played for a few years, but he's my smoky. I reckon he could be in there with a chance.
You think tomorrow's headlines in Melbourne at least are just going to be Polkinghorne?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, then, here's a little quick thing for you. We've talked a few times on the program about Michael Waldridge.
Ah, yes.
He is, of course, our Minister for Health.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be a doctor himself. I'm
correct.
Not sure about that.
In a kind of Edelston way.
Oh, yeah. He's got the piano happening. And, I know we've had a few lookalikes for him.
Mm.
I often refer to him simply as the Owl.
Yes.
I know Paul McDermott, the comedian, ex of the Doug Anthony All-Stars, mm-hmm. likes to shout, the planes, whenever he appears, and that's a pretty good lookalike. I've worked out who he's been reminding me of all these weeks.
Do tell.
Remember on the Steve Vizard program, remember that bloke used to play the piano, Paul Grabowski? You get that Paul Grabowski?
The count.
Yeah, I preferred Sam C and the Feelers myself. Remember them?
Oh, now you're trawling.
Sam C and the Feelers, aren't you, Sammy? You get Count Paul Grabowski, you whack a Ray Martin wig on him, and you've got yourself our federal health minister. Check the photographic evidence, people. I'm not joking.
And I'd like to see it.
Just before we go, we must thank our guests Paul Hester and John Howard, all our beaks and gladiators. Tomorrow, unless she sleeps through her alarm, we'll be joined by Judith Lucy. And until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, I think you know where to come.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Pete Smith speaking.